You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
After today, there's only one more Monday before the 2021 NFL Draft. So I want to start going through a few different potential scenarios for the Bears to kind of get a sense of, okay, how could this play out over the course of multiple rounds? This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use our promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. On the show today, a pair of Chicago Bears three-round mock drafts. And it's more mock drafts scenarios. It's not exactly about, okay, the specific player here and the specific player there, but the type of player and the position and what you can get in the first round, second round, and third round, and different combinations of, okay, where can I improve my team in what round and what caliber of player am I getting at each of those positions? So it gives us a sense of a few different directions Ryan Pace could go with the same three picks. But we need to start with the Bears' late addition in free agency, a wide receiver, Marquise Goodwin, formerly of the San Francisco 49ers, started his career as a third-round pick with the Buffalo Bills, signed in mid-April, obviously coming in on a cheap one-year type deal at this stage of the free agent process, especially after he opted out of the entire 2020 season. We haven't seen him since 2019. The 49ers actually tried to trade him to the Philadelphia Eagles, and as a result of the way everything played out, it didn't actually end up really going through. It was a swap of six-round picks. There was a restructured contract, and then when he opted out, it reverted the trade essentially back to the 49ers in March, and the 49ers ended up having to send a seventh-round pick instead of having swapped the six. It was kind of a weird random thing, but essentially he never left the 49ers because he opted out. They released him, and he signed with the Bears last week. And big picture, it's one of these potentially savvy, low-risk, high-reward signings for the Bears at this stage. It's a player that is an experienced veteran with some great production in his past and could come to Chicago and do nothing. And even if he does nothing in Chicago, you didn't really have to give up much to get him. You're not guaranteeing him a bunch of money or anything like that, and you don't really lose anything if it doesn't work out. But the potential is there to try and get the guy that had 56 catches for 962 yards in 2017. 4 years ago, you know, we haven't seen that Marquise Goodwin for a little while now, but there is still something there. The guy is still just 30 years old, will turn 31 in November, and he is known as a speed receiver, 5'9", 180, but he's not the slot receiver that you might expect, right? You see short wide receiver who's fast. Oh, he puts him in the slot, therefore he's the instant Anthony Miller replacement. But no, he is almost exclusively an outside wide receiver in the San Francisco 49ers offense, and he is the deep threat. This is Taylor Gabriel. This is Ted Ginn. Not so much, you know, think of like Tariq Cohen as the little guy moving out there and making guys miss after the catch. You do not really throw it to Marquise Goodwin underneath and in space. He's not a guy that records a lot of missed tackles. He really doesn't. He's not that type of shifty playmaker with the ball in his hands, or at least hasn't been consistently at this stage of his career in the NFL. He's not even a big yards after catch type guy. He'll get some yards after the catch when he connects on the deep bomb and can just have a foot race to the end zone. But again, not the elusive athlete with the ball in his hand. He just will run by defensive backs 30 or 40 yards downfield. That is where he has had his success in the NFL. Back in 2017, that big season, he was in the top 10 in average depth of his passing targets downfield because they were just sending deep bombs to him over and over again. And they just found he wasn't as productive or as effective working on any of the short throws. He could hit some intermediate stuff, you know, the more shallow post routes or corner routes, things like that. But this is a vertical receiver. He's not a guy that you want to ask him to slow down, stop, and change directions. You know, like think of like a deep in or out route where you run vertically, and then you have to slow down and almost come to a complete stop and turn a full 90 degrees and try and explode again. He's much more of the long stride speed, track runner type speed, as opposed to the explosive short area quickness type things that we're used to with some of the other speedy receivers. Now, with Goodwin, the production dropped off drastically in 2018 and even more so in 2019. In both seasons, he was hurt quite a bit on and off, and we saw the 49ers offense have some mixed results in the past couple of years as well, and they've had some injured quarterbacks, but they had injured quarterbacks in 2017 when Goodwin was really shining, but he hasn't been able to really replicate that success there. And it's an interesting fit then in Chicago, because he's not a natural replacement for Anthony Miller. He's not a guy that you're going to play in the slot all that much. And so he seems to be kind of in the same type of thing we were expecting from Darnell Mooney originally, to be that vertical threat. And so does this pigeonhole Mooney to be more of a nuanced route runner and to be more of an over-the-middle intermediate type threat? Or are they going to try and take more deep shots with both of them? And, you know, Andy Dalton, not necessarily the big deep shot quarterback, much more the check down, easy over the middle type West Coast quarterback. So the scheme fit is a question here with personnel. But I still think it's a good idea to sign him, right? When you have a potential, first of all, a rare athlete, but also a very good vertical threat and just a talented player. When you can get a talented player cheap, you sign him and you figure out where he's going to play and how you're going to use him and all that other stuff later, because again, low risk signing. Not a lot invested into him. So just get me as many talented receivers as I can, and I need my coaching staff to figure out how they're all going to fit, and I'm not going to lose anything if, for some reason, he doesn't fit. Like, I wouldn't guarantee him a 53-man roster spot right now. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, he is your wide receiver 3, or wherever you want to chart him on the depth chart. Nothing's guaranteed for that right now, but bring him in and give him a shot? Absolutely. Goodwin isn't the type of receiver that's going to change any of my plans in the NFL draft if I'm the Bears. And we'll go through a couple of those potential plans, a couple of potential scenarios here for the first 3 picks for the Bears that could go in 2 different directions, and give you a sense of a couple of different ways the Bears could build this team, with emphasis on slightly different positions. That's next on Locked On Bears. This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring. Ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece, they're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. The collection features high-quality, fine jewelry that will surprise and delight. And it's fairly priced, so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. If you're on the hunt for the perfect, unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, though, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. If you love the NFL draft like we do, then you're going to love all the different draft prop bets available at betonline.ag. Of course, there's odds for who's going to be the first pick and the second pick, first defensive player in the draft, first offensive lineman in the draft, first running back, first wide receiver, and so many more. Also, specific draft ranges for specific prospects. Over under the 5.5 pick for Kyle Pitts, the Florida tight end. Over under the 10th pick, 10.5 for Rashawn Slater. 5.5 for Penei Sewell. And the Trey Lance, over under the 6.5 pick. Vegas odds makers seem to think Trey Lance is going to go in the top 7. Then, of course, BetOnline has odds for baseball, basketball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis. You name it, they've got it at betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account and enter our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your free 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. With less than 2 weeks until draft day, you know we've got the NFL draft covered from all angles here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm giving you your Bears-specific draft coverage, but if you want more in-depth prospect analysis, more NFL draft news, rumors, trade discussions, big boards, moving up and down, all that, we've got Locked On NFL Draft with Trevor Sikkema and Ben Solak. We've got the Draft Dudes podcast with Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino. And of course, the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 going on right now. You can hear a preview of it right here on this Locked On Bears podcast feed as well. You can hear the first couple of picks and get yourselves ready for when we go in-depth on the Bears pick a little bit later this week. And stay tuned, because coming up this week, we'll have some more information about our live coverage for the night of the draft next Thursday. But since today is Mock Draft Monday, I wanted to do something a little bit different. Instead of just going through a full 7 rounds worth of picks, I want to put two different scenarios sort of side by side here and get a sense of, okay, there's a few different directions that Ryan Pace and the Bears could go to maybe focus on different things with their draft picks. Because it's all about this combination of best player available, but also wanting to hit positions of need, especially with these first few draft picks where you can get guys that will be contributors either right away in the rookie season or certainly stepping into the starting lineup by year two, maybe with the exception of the quarterback position, depending on when and where you're going to draft those guys. But we've talked a lot in recent weeks about where the strengths of this draft class are, where the depth is, particularly on the offensive line and at cornerback, because those two seem to be the biggest needs in both the short and long term for the Bears to have some better young depth at those spots to either start and have a major role in their rookie seasons or certainly take over next year and beyond. And so for me, I kind of go back and forth on, okay, which of those spots am I going to prioritize in the first round and which one do I feel like I can be comfortable with the options in the second or third rounds? And that's kind of where these mock drafts diverge for me, because in the first scenario, I can see an offensive line heavy first few rounds. I can't bring myself to go offensive line in back-to-back picks to go first and second round. I could see it happening and I wouldn't be super upset with it, but I find myself really wanting to get something else in there, right? So you could see a scenario where you maybe even go, you know, cornerback or wide receiver in the first round and offensive line with the other two picks. But in this scenario, let's say first round, you get an offensive tackle. And whether that's Tevin Jenkins from Oklahoma State or maybe Christian Darrisaw from Virginia Tech, maybe he falls. The specific name for me in this case is not as important as the concept here of like, okay, say you get an offensive tackle in the first round. Then you pair that in the second round with a cornerback, because you still want to get something in that defensive backfield. You can never have too many cornerbacks. You get that tackle in round one to say, yep, I've got my starting right tackle, and I have upgraded my offensive line to help Andy Dalton and maybe Nick Foles if that ends up changing, and maybe another quarterback, a rookie quarterback later on. You never know how everything's going to play out, but we do know that this offensive line needs help, and they do need to upgrade offensive tackle, and they need to draft an offensive tackle somewhat early in this draft. I've made the argument before on this podcast, it does not have to be round one, and we'll go through one of those scenarios in a little bit here on the podcast, but let's start with the offensive tackle in round one here. And I go to round two, and I still see there's cornerback depth available. They're not as good as some of those first-round cornerbacks that we talked about, you know, Caleb Farley, Greg Newsome II, whoever might be there at 20, or trade down and still get one of the top cornerbacks. I think there's a clear step off there between those round one guys that I feel great about as a potential week one starting cornerback and some of the other guys in round two that can get on the field as rookies, but I'm not ready to rely on them over the top and really throw them in the fire just yet the way I felt like I could with Jalen Johnson last year. And I think it's a great pair to get a Darrisaw or a Jenkins in the first round with like Asante Samuel Jr. or Eric Stokes from Georgia in the second round. You know, there's a few different cornerbacks there. Again, it's the concept more than the specific player here that, you know, Asante Samuel could come into Chicago as a rookie and maybe he starts out in the slot for his first year, and I see him as a significant upgrade over Duke Shelley or Kendall Vildor in that spot. And then next year, when Desmond Trufant is a free agent again, Samuel can move to the outside, and you have a great duo of young cornerbacks in Johnson and Asante Samuel Jr., or make it Eric Stokes, or whatever, pick your cornerback in the second round. You make it work, you find some playing time with them, but you don't trust them in as big of a role as you might for one of those first-round guys, but I still feel like I'm getting my long-term answer at cornerback. And then in the third round, I can swing back over to the offensive line, and you know what? I can grab a guard or a center. You know, I think somebody like Kendrick Green from Illinois would be a great fit here if he's still available when the Bears pick in the third round. He's played left guard and center. He kind of got the Cody Whitehair treatment at Illinois where they were kind of flipping him back between both, but he really did both at a pretty darn high level. One of these guys that gets better every year. You see him in college, and then presumably in year one in Chicago, you figure out who you want at center. If you want Daniels and Whitehair at guard, then Green can compete at center with Sam Mustafa, or if you put Daniels at center or Whitehair at center, you could put Green and compete with him at the whatever guard spot, but it secures your interior with a third-round pick where you have some competition already in Mustafa, where you don't need Kendrick Green, or maybe even Ben Cleveland, another Georgia product on the offensive line. You don't need him to step in right away and be that week one starting player because you do have other options there, but you feel like he can be a starting player next year, absolutely, or he can take over the starting lineup later this year, and at the very least, he can give you some really reliable depth behind Sam Mustafa or whatever starting offensive line combination you want to have in there and feel like you're building your offensive line for the future. That's the way I think you should go if you really want to focus on the offensive line in this draft. And I think it's a good idea to focus on the offensive line in this draft. But I also think you can afford to wait on offensive line and still address it and still get quality players while being able to upgrade other spots with a little bit more of an investment than, say, waiting till your fifth and sixth round picks to add a quarterback or to add a defensive back or add whatever you want to do when you get to the rounds where Ryan Pace has had success, but it's just a little bit harder to rely on and really know exactly what you're going to get. So we'll flip the script a little bit here and go through a different looking mock draft scenario, hitting some different positions while still touching on the offensive line next on Locked On Bears. The Bears have endless options they could go in the draft, and it feels like there are endless options of delicious flavors to choose from of the world's best-tasting protein bar, Built Bars. They've got 18 of them, and when you get a mix-and-match box, you can get any kind of combination of the three. I'm not a mathematician, but I think that adds up to hundreds of different combinations of caramel brownie, cookies and cream, coconut almond, raspberry, mint brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate, you name it, they've got it. And they're all covered in 100% real chocolate. They're soft, easy to chew, low calorie, low sugar, high fiber, and high protein. So you're getting not only a healthy treat, but a delicious candy bar-like taste without the candy bar sugar and calories. You gotta try them for yourself. Head on over to builtbar.com and enter our promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Now through the rest of the week, listen to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey, featuring analysis from NFL experts Michael Irving and Brian Baldinger. Our local experts for every team, including myself, will make some trades and we'll pick the next stars of our teams. So search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So our first mock draft scenario today was focused on the offensive line in particular. Offensive tackle in the first round, again, Darisaw Jenkins, pick your offensive tackle. Cornerback in the second round, you still want to address the defense. You can't just keep overlooking the defense and let the talent continue to drain from that side of the ball. So again, whether it's Asante Samuel Jr. or Eric Stokes or Melifonwu, whoever you want to get, you can still add that defensive back in the second round and swing back to the offensive line in the third round with a guard or a center like Kendrick Green or Quinn Miners from Whitewater, if he's still there, or Ben Cleveland from Georgia, and feel like you're hitting a couple of spots there and building that long-term foundation on the offensive line. But I also think you can build your offensive line foundation while still investing significant draft picks at other areas on this roster that need it. Because notice, for example, in that first mock draft, you go through your first three rounds and then you don't pick again until the fifth and sixth with no quarterback added. And I know we don't really anticipate any first-round quarterback options, but it generally is a good idea, and we talked about this on a previous podcast as well, to just take a quarterback, preferably in the top 100 picks in the first four rounds, because that's where your swings might be able to get you something more than just an average, crappy backup quarterback, even though still your percentage chances are low. It's better than the late rounds, even if it's worse than the first rounds. It's still worthwhile to take that swing and potentially have an option at a home run quarterback. And, you know, waiting to the second round for a cornerback doesn't give you as much oomph there. Doesn't give you, you know, you're more in the perhaps like the Prince Amukamara type long-term range. You're not going to have as much shot as something potentially special there as you might in the first round to really get a dynamic Pro Bowl type player. So an alternative option would be to get that special cornerback in the first round. Somebody like Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech. Size, speed, there's an injury concern with him that might cause him to fall, but that was sort of a non-football related injury situation, and when we've seen him on the football field, he's been a phenomenal cornerback prospect. He may go well before the Bears pick if that medical stuff clears by NFL teams that have a lot more information on that than we do. But even if it's not Farley, there's, you know, Greg Newsom II from Northwestern has those top-end instincts, even if he's not a freak athlete at the cornerback spot. Again, not as much about the player, but about getting a long-term starting first-round caliber cornerback to really lead that room with Jalen Johnson. It's like, bam, I have two exciting, promising, long-term options there at the position that's becoming more and more valuable with how much teams pass and how many talented receivers are on the league. You need more cornerbacks. So boom, I've got an option right away to feel really good about my secondary and avoiding some of that drop-off from losing Kyle Fuller. Then I can go into round two, and I can still get my quarterback. Kellen Mond from Texas A&M, Davis Mills from Stanford, or, you know, even if Kyle Trask from Florida is your cup of tea. Doesn't matter which one for this situation. I'm more in the Mond-Mills type class, although each one has some flaws that I'm not super thrilled with, and I don't know that I can afford to wait to the third round to make sure I get whatever next tier of quarterback that I want. But bam, I can get cornerback and a young quarterback of the future to give me some hope for in that second round, and then I can still swing over in the third round and grab an offensive tackle. James Hudson from Cincinnati could be in that round. Stone Forsythe from Florida. We talked a little bit with Trevor Sikkema from Lockdown NFL Draft about those Florida prospects. Stone Forsythe's like 6'8", 315 pounds. He's just a mammoth of a man, but he's, you know, he's fluid enough to be able to play left tackle. He's still a work in progress. And, but, you know, same with James Hudson. When you're waiting to the third round, these are guys that are not necessarily stepping in as guaranteed day one starters at right tackle, or if you want to put them at left tackle and move Charles Leno, pick your poison. But at least you have Jermaine Ifedi and Elijah Wilkinson there to compete, and you have this rookie option in the third round that's not as special as the Darisaws and maybe the Tevin Jenkins and some of those first round guys, but can be that, certainly that depth as a rookie, and maybe he gets in the lineup later in the year, or maybe he is good enough to start week one, and that you can find starting caliber offensive linemen in the second and third rounds of the draft. And you can't always find starting caliber cornerbacks in the second and third round. The Bears found Jalen Johnson in the second round. You can certainly find them, especially earlier rather than later, but I still feel like I can get an offensive tackle of the future in the third round and feel like he could also be an offensive tackle of the present, and that can help me get through this season because you still have Charles Leno at left tackle. Eventually, you are working toward replacing him. You've got your young guys on the interior, and now in the third round, I can still get my rookie to compete at right tackle and maybe eventually move back over to left tackle or however you want to play out, while still making a huge investment in cornerback and getting a young quarterback on this roster behind Dalton and Foles to at least have somebody developing back there and somebody with some hope and long-term optimism that I can turn to and see if Davis Mills can be more than what we've seen in really only limited action from him in college, and see if Kellen Mond can be a little bit more when you get him out of that Texas A&M environment and put him in an NFL locker room with an NFL coaching staff and NFL weapons and try and bring out more of his athleticism and some of his traits, accentuate them a little bit more, let him open up the offense a little bit more, be a little bit more vertical, and do some things that your current quarterbacks just aren't quite as capable of doing at this stage in their careers. It's really all about what and where you want to invest in with your draft picks and what your priorities are. And a lot of it, too, will be shaped by who's there when you're picking at 20. You know, if all the offensive tackles you like are gone, but there's still a cornerback there, you know, the draft board kind of makes the decision for you, or vice versa. Or if, you know, if all the tackles and cornerbacks are gone, maybe you have to go a receiver like Bateman, or a, you know, a safety like Morig, or, you know, Christian Barmore on the defensive line. I mean, there's some different options you can do at 20 if everything else really doesn't work, but you can still get a good cornerback in the second round, or a decent offensive tackle in the third round, or you can double dip on the offensive line in the second and third round, or in the first and third round, or you can get a quarterback there in round two. You know, you can kind of move these different pieces around and figure out, okay, with those first three picks, really the only three picks where I'm going to be able to get fairly consistent contributions, where I feel like I can rely on these players, what three positions do I want to prioritize, and where do I want to add the young talent most on my roster, and who's going to be there to be able to add said young talent? Because I don't think you can wait till the third round on cornerback and really find much more than starting to be more in that developmental type range that I don't want to rely on against experienced NFL receivers consistently right away in their rookie seasons. But you know, I feel like when you have some of that competition at tackle and at guard and center, you can, you know, you can get some of those guys there. If you can wait to the third round to get a quarterback, if you like Jamie Newman from Wake Forest / Georgia. You know, he never really played at Georgia, but so I never know exactly what to call him, but he did actually transfer before he opted out. But regardless, you have some different options there, and I think these two mock drafts illustrate two different paths you could go to still upgrade some of the same positions in different ways. So I hope that gives you a sense of some of the dynamics at play in those first few rounds, and I hope you'll subscribe to the Locked On Bears podcast to keep up with all of our daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. We'll keep our NFL draft coverage rolling all through draft week and getting you ready for the big days next week. And then, of course, after the Bears make their picks, we'll be breaking them all down and trying to figure out how they'll fit in Chicago and everything that happens on draft day. It should be an exciting time. I hope you're getting excited. I know I am. I'm having a lot of fun learning about more of these prospects with you and trying to figure out how this draft might go. And I hope somewhere along the way, the podcast at least makes it a little bit easier to bear down.